You are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander.
In this podcast, I share with you how to source, find, get, then train a virtual assistant. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that have resistance in hiring a virtual assistant. And I get it. I mean, I am a total control freak. For years, I didn't catch on that this is the way to really expand your business and get that creative flow and get your business going. Here's the thing. Once you're committed on up-leveling your business, you have to make movement, including hiring new virtual assistants. In this podcast, I show you how to build a team. And really, you'll be surprised on the pricing for a team and how to source them out is super easy. And really, you're going to wonder, why haven't you done this before? Here is episode 6 with up-leveling your business using virtual assistants.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining the call today. So today is a special edition of AMP Radio. And it's for AMP members. This special edition is for AMP members and also people that were invited to this call. So welcome. Welcome to the special edition of AMP Radio. I'm your host, Francesca Alexander, the creator of AMP at the Advanced Mentorship Program and the founder of HustleAndGlow.com. I am a big fan of reverse engineering, so please visit my website, socialglobalgrind.com, and check out my Pinterest, Facebook group, Twitter account to see my marketing strategy in motion. Okay, so here's a little bit about myself. Now, if you haven't ever heard my story of where I come from, you know, I come from a luxury sales and marketing background. I've, done it since I was a kid, from a mall rat working at the Gap and then going and advancing into a finer retailer establishments, luxury brands and so forth. Started my marketing career after I was a makeup artist. I was a makeup artist with MAC Cosmetics, and then I was a makeup artist by myself, freelance, my first business. And it was really exhausting, a lot of fun. I will be very candid with you. There was a lot of partying that I did, a lot of learning lessons that I needed to go through to understand what the correlation between the healthy route in doing your own business and then just running yourself ragged, you know, up in Los Angeles. There's a lot of ways you can get in trouble. And so I started my makeup artist career as a freelancer. At the same time, I thought it was a good idea to start the proceedings of a divorce. Now, that sounds ideal. You know, a lot of women, what they do, or men for that matter, when you are going through divorce, you reinvent yourself. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to reinvent myself. I love being a makeup artist. I know I have some great things to offer people. So I'm going to go all in. Which was great because a lot of people around me supported me in that. And what I say by that kind of, I'm saying it cheeky because, the husband granted me the divorce. Everything in my life turned upside down, including the job that I was currently working at. Everything made room for that wish. So all of a sudden I have my own business and I better hustle it out so I can actually pay some bills. So it was a very scary time for me, but I have to tell you, it was the most exhilarating time of my entire life. And I am telling you this because I just realized right now that I went off script. You know, usually I'll do bullet points of what I want to talk about. And all of a sudden I'm talking about my crazy days as a makeup artist. And I just picture myself jumping in and out of the spots in Hollywood that were great and were just so awesome, like Smashbox Studios and Paramount Studios and, doing makeup at an event at the Standard Hotel, just that whole craziness, what I think is a really hard lifestyle. I thought it'd be genius to do it at age 34 and live my first childhood. I actually got married very early. So I was the good girl for a very long time. And then I was like, all right, all bets are off. I'm going to go ahead and live my life to the craziest, extremes I could possibly think of and see if I can create a business out of it. Now, it so happens I realized that I wasn't taking my business or my life seriously. So when that happens, calamity ensues, hijinks happen, it was a mess. So I land up getting a corporate job in sales, and they liked my sales pedigree when I went into this particular startup company. And they were a startup. They were a luxury brand skincare line that was in Beverly Hills, and they wanted to translate sales online. So this was the first venture of online marketing. It was very early on, before Twitter. You know, if you kids are too young enough to know what happened before Twitter, I'm telling you things happened before Twitter. But anyway, I was suddenly thrown into this element of, like, you know, online marketing. So, and also it was social media marketing were just about to happen. You know, all of this craziness that we know now was starting to develop. So the great thing about startup companies is that you are thrown in. And what I mean by thrown in is that people don't know what they're doing. They're saying, oh, let's do this. Let's grab sales this way. But they have no A to Z plan. The cool thing, and this is why I always fit into that sort of environment, is because growing up, or even in my young adulthood, I was never given a break. I had to find my way to get to A to Z, and no one's going to tell you how to do it. Where I grew up, I didn't have resources or people that were mentors that would guide me. I had to figure out, find a way, hustle my bum, and get to Z. And no one was going to tell me about it because the people that in my neighborhood were doing the same thing, either being very complacent, going with the status quo route, or they were making it happen. You know, so I am very much of the thought of making it happen and gathering people around me that are going to hear about my cause. And by the end of it, and it's not about what I can get from other people. It was about getting cheerleaders. I needed support from other people to go around my brand, what I wanted to do. It's like, hey, yeah, I have this friend that's a DJ, and we're putting on this show in Hollywood, but I need you to be there. I need you to show up. You know, the tickets are like $10. Come in. It's going to be a great dance party. Everybody's coming. Blah, 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 blah. Always on the hustle, trying to get to the new thing. I was two things there. You can probably hear from my background. As a natural salesperson, and I was the most natural PR person you can ever imagine. I have to thank my real life education, and a lot of that had came, you know, the refining of that education had come from Nordstrom. I was hired by Nordstrom, a luxury department store, and they taught me a heck of a lot. This is before 9/11, when they actually had money to spend on education with their employees. And I learned so much about marketing, etiquette, customer service, retaining clients, getting clients back into the stores in the slowest months. I mean, this was like a sink and swim situation. If you did not have reoccurring clients and client loyalty, chances are you didn't make commission. If you didn't make commission for so many months, you were cut from the team. So my life at Nordstrom depended on having me have not only gumption, but I also always had to be in the hustle, provide great service, give them a reason to call me or call back or come back, and have that strong client base. And I worked in different departments, and my clients followed me from different departments. I did everything there, from being concierge manager to being, oh gosh, I started off as a cashier when I was in my early 20s, and then eventually went to MAC Cosmetics, where I started in makeup, and it wasn't easy to get in. I had no experience. I had to hustle. I had to start another cosmetic company first, do double-digit sales, and then go get noticed to actually get a measly part-time position, my first position at MAC. And then, of course, I went up the ladder from there. But it was and I was with MAC for almost 10 years. It was an incredible run. Again, a lot of things that were learned from that company, sure. And I'll be very candid with you. There's a lot of things in a lot of companies that I worked at that showed me what not to do in business. So, you know, and it's every great thing that I pulled from each company, there's a longer list of what not to do when I look back at companies that I work with. But I won't dwell into that because that's another Oprah. We'll come back to that later, maybe. So the reason why I went ahead and scheduled this call and scheduled this talk is because I thought it was really important to really talk about what AMP is all about. And also, I wanted to give you guys some tips on virtual assistants. I think that is probably one of the most single asked about questions for entrepreneurs. Like, you know, should I get a virtual assistant? I'm not sure if I'm ready. How much does it cost? I mean, I like having my hands on everything, and I have to have control of everything because I want to produce quality. And I have to tell you, once you are ready to cut through that BS, because quite frankly, it is BS. These are things that we do to hold ourselves back from going to the next level. This is definitely one of those challenges, is what we dwell in, the what ifs, and we dwell in, like, this may not work for me, it might be too expensive. It's a way that we suppress us going from the next level. So it's an up-leveling, definitely an up-leveling problem. You want to be able to conquer this as soon as possible, whether you just started out in your business or you've been in your business for a very long time. You got this. Everything's under control. You have one assistant that maybe does 20 hours and blah, 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 blah. But what I will tell you is if you free up your time for loading up Hootsuite and all of your Twitter posts, getting your blog sorted and loading that up on WordPress, you know, all of these things that you can hand off to somebody else, if you just go ahead and think about all the things that are in your daily operations Monday through Sunday, what can I train and get rid of? That's a question that I want you guys to ask yourself now. What can I train that I do in my everyday business and get rid of that and give that to a virtual assistant? And just take a moment and grab that piece of paper and just write the 3, then write 5. And then I really want you to dwell in this question for the next week. What am I doing this week in my daily operations that I can train somebody else and they can do it for me? Because if you did all of that, your business will scale like no other. It will not only gain the momentum that it needs, but it's going to scale on a broader sense where now you have more creative energy. You can create that, you know, that new line that you wanted to create, you know, for children's apparel. You were able to expand on that jewelry line that you thought of, you know, all of these collections that are in your head. You can, you know, expand on it. If you're an online marketer, how can you, you know, what type of things that you need to do that the 6 or 7 figure business is doing, how can you, you know, redefine that energy and go there? So this is something that I really want you to pay attention to. Once you get over that element of, all right, I'm going to hire my first virtual assistant. Okay, so then how do you do that? Well, you know, first of all, if you could just imagine for a minute how that person is going to be and think about, you know, I'm not talking about writing a job description just yet, but think about all of the elements of what you want them to do. That list that you wrote that shows you on how, you know, many different ways that you can alleviate the pressure from you and give to somebody else. Have that next to you while you're looking. Now, there's 2 websites that I recommend. There's one called HireMyMom.com, which is pretty great. And also the one that I use often and all my virtual team is from Odesk.com. It's Odesk.com. And I love it. They make it really simple for you and job posting. If you need help, you can hop on the phone with them. They're based out of California. They have an amazing resource in terms of the people. that will bid for your job and you will work for them. I've had really overall pleasant experiences with everybody. Once I get a team member that is great, they're with me for a very long time. And I started my business in 2010, and I have some of those people still with me when I started. I had listened to a business radio show, and they had spoke about this. And I went, whoa, I have got to check this out. And they were talking even about cultural differences in different countries. I believe they were focusing mostly on the Philippines and India and what it is, what kind of prestige it is to be a virtual assistant. Now, the cultural aspect for me, and I love the psychology of anything. I do a lot of female consumer psychology and the psychology of even running a business. And that was intriguing to me, to have somebody from the Philippines that honor and would like to say, I'm a virtual assistant for somebody in Los Angeles with this company called SocialGlobalGrind.com. And I wanted that person. So already I was kind of going into the alignment of what that person was going to be like. And on Odesk, I went ahead and did my first job description of what I wanted. And at the time, I believe it was web help. So I needed somebody that understood WordPress. And that was my first hire. And it was awesome. I had things happening overnight while I was asleep, woke up, things were done. I mean, just so great. So my first tip is to make sure the person you are seeing that replies to your application, make sure that they're not an agency. And sometimes what happens, agencies contact you with a person and a name, and you think that's the person you're going to hire. Meanwhile, it's a person from the agency that wants to fill this position. So just make sure that that person is a real person and not an agency. Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, go on to the next steps. That's actually one of the questions I have on the bottom. You're able to do the job description, and on Odesk, on the bottom, there are open fields where you can type in a question. That's one of the questions I write. It's like, are you an agency or the actual applicant? So make sure you've got that covered. The other tip is be sure you're very clear with the job description. Make sure your applicant understands the terms. If the applicant repeatedly just says, yes, yes, I can do that, yes, 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 you know, that's a red flag. In my experience, the yeses and not an explanation is a surefire way to kind of get the person to shut up and hire me already, and it always backfires. So ask for, you know, detailed questions or go back with that yes and go, can you please explain more? And really try to get that person to elaborate. If they're unable to elaborate, red flag, probably not your person. You know, and I think, too, that, you know, going back to the questions, this is a great thing to do is, you know, create 3 or 5 questions that pertain to the job description. You know, I'm just going to pull the website thing here. It's like, do you have, you know, experience with WordPress? Do you do you do any designing, web designing as well? Whatever it is that you need, like, ask them. I think also, too, if you really had a specific job that you need to fill and you don't have the time to mess around and go, oh, gosh, is this person going to get the job? It's a good idea to screen record your job description. So if you're going to go on your computer and you're going to record the screen and ask, hey, can you do this? I want this type of web design, and I'm looking for somebody that knows how to do membership websites and, you know, whatever it is that you can outline. Sometimes the visual with the audio is great. You know, one of the other questions I get there from people is that they want to, you know, a lot of these freelancers are very eager to fill in these spots. And so what they want to do is engage you in a Skype conversation. I mean, that's honestly, I don't do it because it's a time-saving issue. I don't want to be polite and have a 10-15-minute conversation with somebody I'm probably not interested in. So I just say, you know what, our interview is being conducted now. And I would even, if it is an intricate job, you know, consider having that recorded screen as part of that process. If they can understand that, then there you go. So let's see. So, you know, you want to make sure you got that communication down for sure. Oh, this is the other thing that I thought was really interesting. And I have to thank my husband. My husband's like a flipping genius. He really is. He was in operations in different countries. And when he was in Dubai, he would source out immigrants that would come into Dubai and understand the pay structure a little bit more. So he researched, like, you know, and you know, different countries, like, what is the going rate for this particular job? What's the scope of this job? Is it, what dollar amount is it that they get? And what does that convert into U.S. dollars? So he had let me know that a lot of the positions that I offer were paid anywhere from 2, 3, and 5 times more than what they get in their country, which is awesome. It made me feel really good, especially when, you know, I felt like it was really low. And so you can negotiate your position anywhere from like 3 to 4 U.S. dollars hourly, and that is more than enough. If you feel you have, like, you know, I want to give them some gratitude money because they did an excellent job, you know, do that. Go ahead and give them the bonus, but be very thankful for it. These are great people that do good work, and absolutely they should be paid well. But also being realistic about your, you know, your bootstrapping, your budget, what you can take out. It's very much a part of what you need to do in business. You need to look at the overall sense of where your budget is going and make sure that your products, you know, your services reflect anything that you're going to use in terms of virtual assistants, including you can actually manipulate hours. So you can manipulate hours in a way where you can maybe say that week you can only spend so much money. You can go ahead and you know, get them to work 10 hours that week, 20 hours that week instead of the full 40. But you can manipulate it to what your budget calls for. Definitely, you want to be able to do that. The next very important thing, after you've got somebody, you hire them, you got the hourly rate down, you went ahead and you schedule the hours that they're going to work. Know and understand the time difference. Make sure that when you do out assignments, that you know that, okay, I am, you know, if they start work at 2 in the afternoon their time, that's like 8 p.m. my time. So know that, you know, you're scheduling things a day out ahead of time. Don't ask for deadlines to happen quickly, because remember the time difference is there. Be respectful too, I think. Understand what conditions they're at. So if they have to work at a, you know, a cafe, a coffee shop, or an internet coffee shop, ask them, what is your hours? What hours do you like to work? You know, sometimes they have a day job and they want to work at night. That's cool. Figure out what the expectations are. I think it's part of a mutual respect thing. I am completely lucky to have the people that I found, and I treat them with the utmost respect. And that is something that we'll go into a little bit more about, that sort of management relationship. But it is immensely great if you can get that down, because then you don't have a lot of crazy expectations and things, you know, don't fall through the cracks. So the other thing you want to do is definitely start your training. Those are the first 2 weeks when you hire them. Training is the best time to train. They'll get you, they'll get your company culture, they'll get the project scope a little bit more. You're going to want to go ahead and give them a series of recorded computer screens so they can get the scope of the project a little bit more. They also will adhere and listen to the inflections in your voice a little bit more, so there's going to be a natural organic bonding that happens, which I think is really essential. I have to do that with my crew because, you know, most of them are in the Philippines. I have somebody I work with that's in France, Nepal. So a lot of the times if I do a staff meeting, they're going to catch it in their own time. And I want them to feel like we're around the table, like we're all in, you know, sitting on my couch in my living room. Like, I want to have that feeling with them. So the way that transcends and more is if I hear the inflections of my voice. That's good. I do a couple of live videos, like just thank you videos for them, just really, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times a year. It's not necessary, but the more that I invest in that bonding time with them, you know, what's going to happen naturally is that they're going to work their bums off for you. And that's what we want. We want them to really work very hard for you and really catch things. I'm going to get sidetracked here. I almost got a little teary, but I have to tell you, I have a virtual assistant that catches things that I don't and am not qualified to catch. And she'll, like, you know, kind of send me the email, like, hey, I just want you to know this is happening. Or if they catch an error that someone else is doing, she'll clean it up or tell me about it. And I mean, nobody does that. Not even in the U.S., for that matter. People just kind of keep quiet and carry on. She's invested in my company, and I'm just so proud and so happy to have that sort of relationship. It's amazing. So, yes, if you keep doing that, you will definitely get more. So let's see. So we're going back to training. You know, your virtual assistant, give them instructions. For sure. You know, yes, you want to be able to develop that good rapport with just checking in on them every week. Also ask them, you know, hey, what does your schedule look like this week? Get a clarification on when they're going to be working on your project. I think that's the biggest learning thing that I've gone out of it. Like, I will dull something out on maybe a Tuesday and I don't hear from them for like days. As soon as I didn't check in with them, like, I don't know if they have vacation or they're going into another town to visit their family that week. The clarification part is really on you. Don't really put that on them. They're going to live their lives as much as they possibly can. And they're probably so totally stoked that they got extra money from you, so they're off. They're on vacation. You got to make sure what their week looks like. So, you know, definitely encourage you guys to check in with them a lot. Develop a system, whether it's on Google Calendar or another type of software, that will ping you to remind you to check on the project that you're doing with them. This is essential. I can't tell you how many times I lost track of projects because I didn't do this. And my first year was a clumsy year. And what happens is, like, kind of like when you spend a lot of time in college and you don't keep on changing your major, you're not sure, you take a long time, or, oh, I know, I want to backpack everywhere and then I'll come back. What happens? Your education is much more costly than what you anticipated. It's the same thing here. When you don't have a system in place or you're not really understanding the training part aspect of for your virtual assistant and then the application, you're going to be stuck and just paying somebody that is not doing a lot for you. You want to keep it right and tight. Get everything in order. Literally have a punch list of what you need to do. Get due dates in. Don't be complacent on your end. You need to follow up with them and check out what they're doing. Okay? So this is definitely a management tip. Just thinking back about Nordstrom again, they were very thoughtful in communication with an employee. And when you are thoughtful with communication, they really, you know, that employee will become your biggest crusader. They will work on your behalf like no other. So again, all of these elements and respect, the little bullets that I'm talking about here, are going to actually transcend and help you in the overall production of things. So keep that in mind. We talked about outstanding projects, making sure that you're accountable, have them accountable for it. Once the training is over, you're going to see how everything is amazing and streamlined. Because you took the time to train, now this person totally gets you. They get your communication. They get your due dates. They know how to check off with you. They know how to check in with you. They also know how to share their schedule with you, which is great. The expectation is there, and now you're ready to up level, because it's going to happen after you train these people and they're off doing their stuff. After you put your assignments, it frees your time. And I get why people don't want to do this, but I will tell you, I was a control freak and it cost me a lot of money. I now have 6 VAs. have a social media team, a website team, a podcast team, an editor for my blog. I also have a personal assistant that is amazing and helps me manage my business. My ODesk team alone is roughly, get this, this is how much it costs me a week, okay? $25 to $50 a week. What is that? That's like nothing. So think about that. All of those, I'm rolling big with my entourage, right, with six VAs. But, you know, at the end of the week, I get billed $25 to $50. And in the beginning, I will say it's a little bit more because you're doing the training, you're giving them more hours. But these systems are so well in place. $25, $50 is usually what the expectation is after I, bill them out. So or they bill me, which is amazing. And I have to say it's a really good rhythmic feeling. It's so great to know that, like, if I'm out sick, these things are going to be taken care of. If I need to drop everything for a family emergency, if I feel like I want to travel, grab a plane ticket and go somewhere, I don't have to worry about anything. These gorgeous people are going to take it for me. They're going to take care of it for me. So I'm very grateful for that altogether. And I, lastly, I can't emphasize on how important it is to systemize. And you heard me talk about this a little bit prior. You know, systemization is something that is crucial. One of the tips I can tell you about, or what I do, is I use Google Docs. And if I have a system and how to, upload Hootsuite tweets, I will have a recorded screen video. I will have a 1 through 10 or whatever, how many steps it takes to do this in the way that I want it to be done. Have all that structure just right there on a Google document. A Google document, for those of you that don't know, it's like a WordPress document, except it virtually lives online. You can also grant people access to this document, which I do. This is part of what I used to do. I do a different system now, but this is a nice system too. You can actually use the Google documents to help train people. On that document will always live the link to your YouTube screen or your YouTube video of your screen of how to do step-by-step instruction. So if you have more members on your team that are going to come on, like, oh yeah, this is great, but you know what? I think I'm ready to hire an additional social media person. Great. Get that first virtual assistant that you hired and totally gets how you do things. Have them, this is brilliant, this is the part that blew my mind this year. I love it. Have them, the first employee, well, not this year, it was like 2013. I still think it's 2013. But early 2013, what I did is I had people that were in the beginning, there from the beginning, train the other people that were under them. And it was like so seamless and so great. Can I just tell you, late last year, I went to New Zealand to be with family. And the great cool thing was, is while I was in New Zealand, the original staff people were actually training the new people because we're expanding the business, and they were training them while I was gone. It was like, oh, so sweet. I come back and I get off in, and now I got additional team members. They totally get it. It was flipping sweet. So I just want you to see how these, being sure to systemize everything, having it live on a Google document so they can kind of go through all of their steps and they can start training each other, is so precious. It's so, so great. Ah, I love it. So think of that. Think of how you can do it. And the cool thing is, it's just like a one-time investment in time for you. So if I were to go ahead and write a document out of like, all right, here's A to Z steps on how to publish on WordPress, and this is how I like it, and please use this infographic that's in your Dropbox, and blah, 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 A, B, and C. And you got that done, and you put it in that document. Now you have a record of it. So it also ensures accountability for that virtual assistant. It's 1 through 10 or whatever it is. And there has been moments where I've trained somebody and they were not keen in understanding the concept, even with a video and with reading. And unfortunately, those are the times when you have to let somebody go. It's a rarity for me. I definitely source and find some amazing people. I think, since 2010, I've had to let two people go which you know, it is what it is, and I was cool with it. Part of having a business is being realistic with your expectations, and as one of my favorite clients says, you got to make sure that you have the people that help steam your engine are on board. The people that help anchor it, they need to get off, and you do it with kindness. So definitely, that has been something that I've had to learn to do to run my own business. I had a kind of a buck up for that one. But anyway, so that's one of the tips. Definitely, you know, make sure that you have a document that has the step-by-step process for you, and that you're able to have other team members help support that. I also do one other thing. After a project, what I do is I revisit that project and I ask people individually, and they don't have to do it in the public forum. They can send me an email and I ask them, what do you think we could have done different? And I know this sounds like a lot of work, but if you ask your people that worked on the project for you, what could we have done different? And it's in the sense of streamlining, because chances are you might become so good at this when you streamline and you get all of the crinkles ironed out from this feedback. You can go faster and quicker on the next one. You can go harder on the next one. You can expand the project and get more value for the project. So you know what I mean? So this does take a moment, but you can also, if you don't like stuff like that, you let your lead assistant ask that question and then share that with you at a later date. And there's so many things that you can dull out or assign out. And I am a big believer, if it feels yucky or, oh, I don't want to do that, or it's going to be stressful, hire it out. Because what happens, and women know this more and more, when we're in our full-blown pleasure of, you know, conducting, you know, business, doing things that don't take so much energy, or if you find yourself pulling your hair out, that is something that you need to leave alone, have an expert do it on your behalf, and then you're off. You're off doing things that are in your creative pleasure, your creative spirit, being able to do things that you totally love to focus on. We want to put you in that area where you're focused on things that you really love, because when that happens, production happens, big money happens. Big money happens, you can expand your business, and you can have these virtual assistants help you up-level. So systemization is key for sure. Don't be afraid of doing that. And I explain a lot more. If you like these tips, you're going to love AMP. Now, AMP is an acronym for Advanced Mentorship Program. It is an online subscription, but get this, it's for $37. So tips like this, and also these podcasts that I'm sharing with you, is an exclusive to AMP members. So AMP members are going to actually listen to this first, and then it gets published on iTunes. So you're going to hear it first on AMP. You're also going to have access to the community that's there. I can't tell you how cool it is when you see other community members talk to each other, talk about an issue on there, definitely to, like, you know, be in the mix and give advice. However, I've seen other entrepreneurs, you know, create friendships, which is pretty awesome. And also, I've seen them hire each other. Hey, you need a web designer? I'm here. Like, hire me. That's great. You know, you need somebody to help with copywriting? I'm your girl. And then they hire that person. It's happened in front of me already, and it's just started. it's like better than what I could have imagined. So, it's a great community. It's awesome. I mean, topics like this, when we talk about our virtual assistants, you know, we're going to be talking about how to streamline coaching, how to get that person to pay in advance, how to get your invoices together and in your, you know, creative flow and pleasure. All of this happens, and we do it each and every month. If you're not here for February, don't worry. You sign on in March. You can go back into the Entrepreneur Activist Library and get it. You can even download it. So you will never be left behind. You just got to catch on. You know what I mean? So I need you to be on AMP so our community expands more. We get more people that we can conversely talk about our business with. And really, it is amazing when you're able to do that, when you're actually able to talk to people about your business I mean, I do it all the time. That's the sense of what a mastermind is. A mastermind is there to help bounce ideas off of people and really reevaluate what you're doing. And also having like-minded people with you can really help put, you know, get you to that new up-leveling place where you haven't been able to get to before. And that's why AMP is genius, for sure. This community is so amazing. And I'm going to leave you with this. I think I saw this and I went, oh my God, that is just so incredible. And it really spoke to the spirit of what AMP is. And this quote is by Amy Poehler. And okay, here we go. As you navigate through the rest of your life, be open to collaboration. Other people and other people's ideas are often better than your own. Find a group of people who challenge and inspire you. Spend a lot of time with them, and it will change your life. Ah, what a great note to leave on. Thank you so much for listening, and please check out socialglobalgrind.com, and I'm here for you virtually. I definitely hold digital space for you, so you can actually tweet me on at globalgirl_LA. This is Francesca Alexander reminding you to amp your hustle and reach your glow. Bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. If you feel inspired, go right now to socialglobalgrind.com and sign up for the free newsletter. There I have tips for every entrepreneur at every stage of their business. I hope to connect and see you there soon. Bye for now.